He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, happy Father's Day. Welcome to a Father's Day edition of the Paul Molitor Show. I'm Chris Atterbury. The other two guys, they actually sound like themselves. They've got their real voices. Jack Morris is here. Paul Molitor is here. If you'd like to join us, it's 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9467. Good news is Jack's here to do all the heavy lifting today. But first of all, happy Father's Day to both of you gentlemen. And Paul, what a week it's been coming off that road trip, really starting in St. Louis. Because you're going toe-to-toe with a team that has the best record far and away in baseball. Brilliant games, one-run, two-run games, runs at a premium, then right into a great series with a very young and exciting Cubs team. And it's just been edge-of-your-seat baseball, seemingly, for every inning for about a week.
Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. It's always a good day. We're going to get a little pampering, right, Jack? it's been a good week of baseball. The Cardinals series, you know, you look at their team and how they've been depleted by injuries and yet how they're continuing to play at an incredible pace. You know, you get a feel watching that team of the confidence level and just how well they are prepared in terms of fundamentally playing the game. And that's good for our guys to see, and it was good for us to play in those kind of games. Won a couple, lost a couple, but that's how you develop. And then, you know, the Cubs, it's good to see them. We don't get to do that too often, especially here. I can't remember the last time they're here in Target Field. It's been probably a half a dozen years, 4 years, I don't know. But, we had a good game the first night. The bats came alive a little bit, and then yesterday, good pitching on both sides, and they found a way late. Disappointing, but we got a chance to come back and win the series today.
Paul, Chris just mentioned, I see a young ball club with their own confidence right now, and that's your team. I sense that this is a real transition point of the season. I see separation happening in the division, and yet my sense is that the Minnesota Twins are in the hunt to stay. Your pitching has been solid. You got Kyle Gibson on the mound today. Talk a little bit about what you think has to happen to be where you want to be in postseason.
Well, I do encourage our guys to have vision of how that can transpire. And we always talk about, well, the way you enable that to happen is how you go about what you do every day. And eventually it leads to where you want to go, hopefully. I'm most encouraged by the pitching, Jack. I think that's the one key that has probably been the most constant. We're getting fairly consistent innings out of our starters with minimal damage, chance to win on a daily basis. That will be primarily what needs to continue for us to win. I think when Irvin comes back, we'll have some questions to answer, but that's going to be another boost. He was our best pitcher in spring training, I thought, and we'll see how that goes. And the rest of our team, it's a little strange that we're so far in the season and we still don't have a real good feel of exactly what positions and people are going to play because there's been injuries and influxes of players, and that's still shaking itself out, but that's okay. I think those things kind of can rejuvenate you in themselves just as it changes day to day.
All right, so let's start up with some of those changes on a daily basis. And a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation from Twins fans to bring up Byron Buxton, and it's apparent at this point anyway that he's struggled a little bit with his bat. Solid defender. How long can you afford to let him go through what he's going through?
Well, we're going to have to probably play it out, Jack, at least until Hicks gets healthy. I watch him, and we all kind of feel the frustration for him because being such a good kid and so much hype, you kind of just go, man, hopefully he helps us win games. But, you know, people are just hungry to see an offensive side of his game that hasn't showed up here in the first week. So, we're trying to be patient. I think, you know, maybe very, very, very small increments, but we see some improvements on how we see in that breaking pitch from the right-handers particularly. Yesterday he had one to hit, got it off the end of the bat, popped it up. But, you know, we're sticking with him here in the short term. I don't know what's going to happen when Hicks comes back or if Buxton's going to get it going. I'm not going to go down there till I have to. But it's fun to have him in there. It just hasn't happened a lot for him as far as getting on base and getting things going yet.
Another tough decision, I imagine, on your part is you see your former shortstop, Danny Santana, doing very well at AAA.
Yeah.
And, you know, how long, again, question that's probably not the easiest for you to answer, but how long do you allow him to continue swinging well there without contributing at this level?
Well, we try not to get, you know, I don't want, you know, fooled by numbers down there. Danny's playing well. Reports are good. Having fun. I think he's got 3 walks in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we're looking for all these upgrades, you know. But I always, you know, I stuck my neck out there a little bit this winter, I guess you could say, and thought, hey, I think we're going to be the best team we can be with Santana at shortstop after the great year Escobar had. And so, you know, that's on my radar. I think we get him back, and I don't know what's going to happen with Byron, but, you know, you start to get more athletic on the field on a day-to-day basis, and you might not hit a lot, but you're going to be exciting when you get on base, and those are kind of some things that you envision that could happen down the road.
Speaking of athletic, Eddie Rosario has shown that offense and defense. We'll talk about him. We'll take your calls as well, 877-38-TWINS. All of that as we continue with the Paul Molitor Show right here on your home for Twins baseball.
With the success of the Case IH Steiger Quad Track and Magnum Road Track tractors, it's no secret why Case IH is the leader of the track. So it wasn't surprising when the competition started imitating us. But only Case IH offers a 5-axle design to give you a smoother ride and more power to the ground with less burning and compaction. Still, we're flattered. In fact, if we weren't already red, we'd be blushing. To learn more, visit caseih.com/tracks.
It's another season of Twins baseball in the great outdoors. Brought to you by Target. Expect more, pay less.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced comfort series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
We bought a house.
We found the one.
Here to stay.
Permanent.
Rooted.
Residence.
Relocated. I've been relocated.
In a short-term world, trust your home mortgage to a long-term bank. U.S. Bank offers the rates and products that fit your life. Visit a branch, usbank.com/mortgage, or call 855-434-HOME to talk to an experienced mortgage loan originator today. Mortgage loans subject to credit approval. Interest rates and program terms are subject to change. Deposit and mortgage products are offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. It's 877-38-TWINS, the number to call. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and we're going to hit the phone lines. We're going north of the border. Apparently, Chris has international minutes. Chris, we're happy to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I got a couple questions there. First of all, happy Father's Day to everybody out there. My first question, Paul, what's the difference between playing in Canada and the United States, as you've done both? And also, what's your difference between day-to-day operations of being a player and now being a manager?
Well, both Jack and I had the pleasure of playing in Canada for a franchise I think we both have a lot of respect for, and just one of North America's more beautiful cities in Toronto. It was a great experience. You have a little bit of cultural differences, and, you know, the food tastes a little different, and taxes play a part in how you go about your personal business. But other than that, you're playing Major League Baseball, and thankfully for both of us, we had a chance to win there. I think difference between managing and playing is, you know, when you're playing, you try to see the whole picture, and the older you get, you try to be a good leader on your team, but you're kind of taking care of what you need to take care of to help your team win. It's just a lot more encompassing in terms of things that you try to see on a day-to-day basis in terms of team morale and individually trying to motivate people and encourage them. And then hopefully have a good game plan how to run a game, both with your pitchers and your offense, to give you a chance to win.
Good question, Chris. We appreciate the call. Again, if you'd like to join us, it's 877-38-TWINS. Paul, I want to get back to Eddie Rosario. He has proven to be a versatile young man. We've seen him play both corners, and you can seamlessly transition him from left to right depending on who's available, who's not available. And he's also of late been able to slide up into that very important number two spot in your order. Talk a little bit about what you've seen in Eddie from the time he arrived with a bang with that home run to where he is right now.
Well, you know, not to get too redundant with things I've said in the past, I've been around Rosie enough to be a guy who has a lot of confidence in him being a good major league player. He still has to prove it over some time. He's done very well here in the short term. You know, coming up, I think it overwhelmed him a little bit in terms of he just didn't react very well to the stuff he was seeing up here. I don't mean overwhelmed by the sense that he thought he couldn't do it. It was just, it kind of came fast and heavy. But he slowed himself down to where he's taken a good approach into the game. He's shown me that he can drive in runs. He showed me he can get on base. He can take good at-bats. You know, I generally like more experience at the top of the lineup, but, you know, trying to get a little more meat in the middle gives me a chance to hit him second now and then. I think he's taking pride in his defense. Very pleased with how he's reading balls, where he's throwing the ball, cutting balls off. And on the bases, fairly aggressive, stealing when we tell him he's got a chance. You know, made a mistake yesterday, one of his first ones, of getting off there a little bit in an imbalanced position on a secondary lead, and the guy made him pay at kind of a costly time of the game. But, you know, if you're never getting caught trying to do something that helps your team, then, you know, maybe you're not being quite aggressive enough. So that was hopefully a good teaching tool for him.
Paul, a couple questions. First of all, you talk about base running, and I saw it again the other night. Your third base coach, Gene Glenn, was able to send the runner when Castro, the shortstop, just had a mental lapse and was looking into somewhere never land out in left field. He caught the fact that he was not focusing and stole a run, basically. Those are the kind of things that I think a lot of fans don't understand that can be game changers. And talk about how you communicate with Gene Glenn and your base runners on taking advantage of those situations.
You know, Jack, excuse me, the best we could, we tried to talk and emphasize base running, you know, my feeling on the importance of it and how it, you know, helps shape who you are. Obviously, good base running can be momentum shifting. Gene has plenty of experience at third base. He's done a really good job of keeping guys running when that potential scoring a run is still up in the air. And the guys have responded to him. Now, we've had a couple chances where we've scored on the back door on plays thrown into the outfield of second base. The other day, I think that was not to take Gene out of it, but that was a Rosario thing, because I think he came around the base. You know, Gino always has him come around the base, make sure they find the ball, but keep your feet moving. And, you know, when you look at the certain angle on that play, Rosario kept doing, he saw the head drift to left field and off he went. So, you know, Gino's been great. Rosario's done some good things, but we love being aggressive on the base pass.
We've got to take another break, Jack, and we'll get back to that point when we return before Gino comes through the glass here and then makes me pay. So we'll take our time out. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We'll be back with more in a moment on your home for Twins baseball.
Get that old clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner-city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit twinscommunityfund.org. That's twinscommunityfund.org.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Wednesdays are student day at Target Field. Rasmussen College is partnering with the Twins to offer $5 standing room tickets the day of the game. All you have to do is show your student ID. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
My suit can still make an impression.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill, it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris with Chris Atterbury. Paul Molitor sitting beside us. And Paul, off the air when you came into the studio, you brought up something that I'd like you to elaborate about a little bit. You said you enjoy this time of year and that there's something kind of magical about where you're at right now.
There's a lot of reasons that you enjoy certain parts of the year. And, you know, school's out, Jack, and we're at the peak of our daylight. Mm-hmm. In terms of 16 hours worth of sunshine this time of the year. I love games this time of the year at night. You know, you're in the eighth inning, it's 9 o'clock, and there's still some daylight left. There's just something about light, and the longer it gets, you know, it kind of lifts your mood. Plus, you know, hey, you're kind of getting into the heat of the season. You know, we got a long way to go, but the farther you can kind of hang around, the more exciting it gets, and we're certainly trying to be one of those teams, and it's just a good time, and hopefully we can keep it going.
One of the things I think you and I have both learned over the years of our playing careers is the importance of the long haul, and I think maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but I think you're sensing that, you know, this team has already made significant improvements to understand. I think they're starting to feel, and this is just my take, mm-hmm. they're starting to feel that they can win and that they can play with anybody. When you play the St. Louis Cardinals and you play them toe-to-toe the way you guys did, and they're the best team in the game right now, I think that gives you a lot of confidence, and maybe that's what you're trying to say.
Well, you know, a couple of responses, Jack. I remember reading a quote from you a long time ago about the mental battle of endurance of a season. You know, physically everyone has to get through that, but mm-hmm. the mentally strong teams somehow survive. I do think that these guys are starting to see it more and more that they can be one of those teams. You know, we try to plant seeds individually, sometimes small groups. You know, my take on the year is that, you know, there is some parity in our game. We got a couple of really good teams and maybe some not so good teams, but there's a lot of teams that have a chance to at least hover around, a few games under, a few games over. We want to be one of those mentally strong teams that understands we can build from there. You know, we got to 11, we got back to 4, whatever it was, but you know, you just got to keep grinding every day and keep building on that and keep yourself in a good position. Once you get down, you know, further down the road, you don't know what can happen. We do have to concentrate on winning day. I get all that, but it's good to have vision of where you can go.
And, Paul, is it fair to say this is, you know, speaking to Jack's point, a confident team, you're getting belief in this team, and yet individually I don't think I look at your roster and say, hey, these guys are lights out. They've already peaked. I feel like there's still improvement to come individually up and down offensively and even amongst your staff.
Well, you know, you can look at stat sheets and all those kind of things, and our pitchers are hanging in there as far as, you know, you look around the league and how our team ERA is and all those kind of things. Offensively, you know, Dozier's up there in extra base hits and, you know, some other categories, but we've had to do it, you know, collectively. Mm-hmm. You know, stars will win you some games along the way, as they say, but, you know, teams find a way collectively to do it in terms of trying to win championships and those type of things. So stars are a good thing, but I like when the whole body's working and clicking together.
Paul, you won the series here at home to open up the homestand against St. Louis. You've got a chance to win the series today against the Cubs. You're sending Kyle Gibson to the mound. How do you think Kyle stacks up against their lineup?
Well, I think it'll be fine. Well, one thing we see about the Cubs lineup is they, like a lot of teams actually this year, Toronto comes to mind, and Seattle, these guys, they're not afraid to strike out. They're going to swing it. They got some really good hitters. That's the first time I've seen face-to-face and in-person some of these guys. Rizzo comes to mind as just, man, he's a man up there. And but, you know, Gibby with his movement can maybe take advantage of some of their aggressiveness, some of the younger guys that, yeah, they got skills, but they'll swing and miss a lot too. So we just hope he's sharp. I'm sure he'll have a good game plan. He's going to have Herman behind the plate tonight. You know, their guy, he's really, last year came on, he developed a really good cutter. He throws hard enough. That cutter's probably his best pitch you'll see today, into lefties and away from the righties. But, yeah, I think Gibby's got a good chance to hold him down. Hopefully we can find a way to score some runs and find a way to win the series.
Let's take our last break. When we come back, maybe check out the hospital tent, see what the update is on guys like Aaron Hicks and Ricky Nolasco, and look forward to what should be a great day of baseball here at Target Field. This is the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do, and see Minnesota Eye.
Honey, another cabinet door broke.
We'll fix it with duct tape.
Using short-term fixes when you need long-term solutions? A U.S. Bank Home Equity line of credit can help. Visit a branch, usbank.com/lowrate, or call 800-209-BANK. For details about credit costs and terms, call 800-209-BANK or see your U.S. banker. Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, home equity loans and lines offered through U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hello, Dream Kitchen. Goodbye, duct tape.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the Paul Molitor Show, final segment before Paul heads back to the clubhouse and they get ready to take on the Cubs here today. Cal Gibson and Jake Arrieta. Remember, Terry Ryan joins Corey Provis in studio just after noon for Inside Twins. I'm sure they'll cover some of these topics, Paul, but what can you tell us about Aaron Hicks, Ricky Nolasco, as far as their health?
Aaron, with the right forearm strain, he's trying to increase activities, but so far he's still having symptoms in terms of throwing and swinging. They made sure that there was no physical structural damage with an MRI, and that was clean, so that's, you know, optimistic for us that he will recover here in the short term. You know, with Ricky's situation, it's just been really unfortunate that that thing is lingering as long as it has. Bone bruising, inflammation. He can do a lot of things, but he can't push off a rubber to pitch. And so they fit him with some orthotics, continue to treat. We're hoping that he's going to try another bullpen session here, I think, over the next couple days, and we'll get a little bit better gauge of where he is at.
In the last week, the Twins have let go of a couple players, in particular Jordan Schaefer. You've kind of taken a good look at your outfield situation, decided that there may be not room for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had, you know, the Timmy Stauffer situation. Timmy came over, was very professional about how he went about his business. It just didn't seem like it was happening in terms of him getting his arm strength back. And with Jordan's case, you know, battling that knee injury, and it just kept lingering. It gave other people opportunity, and some of them are doing fairly well. We're confident enough that we have enough depth there that it just didn't seem like he was going to be a fit here for us or a need for us here through the remainder of the season.
Paul, bullpen-wise, and it's such a volatile position because small sample sizes when you run them out there, and because of the way your starters have been going, you haven't needed to lean on them. Your lefties in particular, Duncing and Aaron Thompson. Thompson got off to the great start. They've both kind of been up and down. How are you feeling about your left-handed situation specifically in the pen right now, and how are those guys performing? We haven't seen a ton of them of late.
No, we haven't seen a ton of them. You know, they Thompson cooled off a little bit, and, you know, I think people were adjusting to him, and he's trying to find a way to counteract that. And for Brian, it's just a little bit of inconsistency. I think that we had a blowout game against us one day. I got them both in for an inning. Mm-hmm. and they both threw the ball well in that scenario. Now, since that time, I've kind of limited their appearances. I'm trying to keep them in shorter stints right now, where it looks like, hey, we need to get a couple guys out here, maybe a couple lefties or whatever, and try to get them back into a better groove. The good thing is our righties are throwing the ball, and they can get righties and lefties out, so we have a chance to win late, seventh inning or later. I'm not going so much with left-right matchups as I'm going with guys that I feel are throwing the ball really well. And you could put Fien in there, Boyer in there. Of course, Perkins has been money all season. So, you know, we're going to get those guys in. They're still important part of the bullpen, but you kind of play your hand that you're dealing with at that given time, and that's kind of what we've been doing as of late.
Paul, talk about Glenn Perkins. This guy seems to just be, you know, for the one inning that he comes in every day, he just – 90% fastballs, confidence be off the charts, I think, with that pitch, and the results have been there.
Well, confidence, a huge part of anything we do in this game, really in life, if you want to get philosophical. But
a little early for that.
Yeah, you know, he's unblemished in terms of save opportunities. I get a little nervous bringing him in those tie games at home. It's just not a little different mindset, yeah. I think, for closers coming in those situations. But he was efficient yesterday and got through a clean inning without too much drama. And we're just trying to make sure that we can find a way to keep him fresh. And so far there's been some periods, a little lean here in June, where he hasn't had to pitch a lot, which if we can hold our own, keep our head above water, that's probably going to be better for him in the long run.
Paul, we got about 45 seconds, and I know you'll be watching closely when Kyle Gibson throws the game's first pitch, but I've just been informed that the ceremonial first pitch might also be something you're going to be paying very close attention to today.
Well, just briefly, it was a nice gesture by the Twins in honor of Father's Day today. I'm going to have my two youngest kids, my daughter Julia, who's 11, and my son Ben, 8. They're going to throw out the first pitch today before the start of the game, which will be a really nice moment for our family. And hopefully they don't bounce it, right? Okay, so we'll be good to go. Hi, Ben.
I think he's already warmed up.
There you go. Like he's loose.
Paul, we appreciate it as always. Great stuff from Paul Molitor. Jack Morris in studio as well. I'm Chris Atterbury. We do it every week at 9:30. If you missed anything, check it out online at twinsbaseball.com. This is the Paul Molitor Show, and this is your home for Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of a Treasure Island Baseball Network.